think before I get started, I got to control my own volume. No, they're back, or she's up there. I want to go to the Lord in prayer for a second, please. So pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today, for the safe travels of all those that are here, that they may have ears to hear, and that I may have lips to convey your words, whatever they may be. Lord, I know that in all my previous workshops, you do a work every single day and change it and tweak it. So even at this last hour, I am willing for you to tweak whatever you need to. I will be your conduit and let them hear. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Wednesday night, if anybody was here, we were supposed to get up and give a one-minute blurb as to why you should come to my workshop. And so I got up and I said, well, I enlisted the help of Noah and Jack. So if you want to know about Noah and Jack, you need to come to my workshop. And the second reason you need to come to my workshop is this is the first workshop I have done that I have not partnered with my wife in the workshop. So because there's only one of us speaking and it's right after lunch, it'll be a short workshop. So I did not say that last night because God's been telling me some things, and I don't know how short it's going to be. I'll stop when he tells me to stop or until Nancy tells me to stop. So Nancy mentioned coming into my house. And I give Nancy a lot of credit for my changes. There's really two others that I need to thank publicly. And I do. And one of them is my wife, Lisa, in the peach up here in the front. She was saved before I was saved. Almost 2 years to the day. And she would come home, and we would go to bed, and I would have restless nights of sleep because she would put her hand on my back and pray. And all the enemy that was in me didn't like the Jesus in her hand. So they kept squirming and trying to get away from it. But she was relentless and committed. So thank you for being obedient and doing what Jesus said. And I love you. And the second one, somebody we all can thank, and it's Jesus, because he was obedient and he's relentless. The name of this workshop is Uniquely a Command, a Promise, and a Helper. And I will tell you, if I say the word you need to, or you should, I really mean we, because if I'm God's tool, then it's his words coming out. So I'm including me in the you, in case I forget to say we. Okay, so don't take offense, because I'm pointing this right back at me as well. So the whole conference theme overall was based on a scripture, Colossians 3:1-2. And it says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. That kind of goes back to 8.5 years ago. I grew up in the church. I was an acolyte. I was a One denomination has a position called a licensed lay reader. I was on a church council, and I've been on another church's council twice. I thought I knew God. I thought, like so many other people that say they're Christians, because I went to church and I did my works and I was on this committee and I helped with the youth, that I had it made. And it wasn't until after Lisa invited Nancy to our house, and about 5 weeks later, is when I accepted Christ. So, let's see, 50, somewhere in my mid-40s. So, I go 44-ish years pretending that I had it all together. But I was still focused on things on the earth. And I was wrong. So the main two verses for this workshop part comes from John. John 14, 15, and 17, and it says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." That just says the world cannot accept him. That's because the majority of the world is not only in this world, but they're also of the world. They're not thinking of the heavenly kingdom. They're not thinking of Jesus' power, of God, of Jesus' sacrifice, of God's power. So my workshop ties back into the whole conference. The other verse that was given, and there's plenty more, is John 16:13. That says, "But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, for he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." So a minute ago, I mentioned Noah and Jack. Anybody want to know who Noah is? Okay. When I say Noah, what do you think? The ark. No, this isn't the Noah, the ark builder. This is Noah, the dictionary builder, Noah Webster, who built an ark of words. And I figured before I got too far into talking about a command, a promise, and a helper, that I needed to know what those things were. So in Noah's book, he talks about a command. And it says to direct authoritatively, to exercise a dominating influence over someone or something. To dominate as if from an elevated place. When I read that one, I started thinking, you know, that's kind of God right there. He can dominate from that elevated place because everybody assumes that heaven's up, but really it's not. That may be where he sits, but if earth is his footstool and Jesus is within us, then heaven is here with us. So, but that one caught my attention because of the elevated place. Command also is the ability to control, the authority or right to command. And the last one said a position of highest authority. We got a choice to make, people. people, mankind, get to places of authority many different ways. One of them is by being elected. We elect city councilmen, mayors, senators, presidents, lieutenant governors, all those people we elect. We are putting them in the highest level of authority for that governing body. The other way is you can be appointed. Another way is to be assumed. I think God is our highest authority. And I think he appointed himself. And he assumed that role and that responsibility. And the reason I think that he has that authority is because he created it all. He spoke and it was. How many people speak and just by their word can create something? Nothing real tangible. I mean, I can speak a word, and I can say something to Uda, and I can create a good feeling. I can create a sadness, anger. I can create those things by my word, but I can't say, let there be a bench, and a bench show up, okay? That's God. He's got all the authority. Synonyms for a command: order, bid, enjoin, direct, instruct. It said bid again. Giving orders. Sarah's not in here, is she? She probably knows this word. Peremptorily. I had to go look up what that word meant because I didn't even know what that word meant. And it says a conclusion based on absolute evidence. Well, my conclusion without absolute evidence, because my name is Tim, not Thomas, is God is our highest authority. That's my conclusion on that part. So, a couple more definitions. Faith and trust. And then I'm going to talk some more, then I'll get into the other stuff. All right, faith. Confidence or trust in a person or thing. Belief that is not based on proof. Another one says the obligation of loyalty or fidelity to a person, promise, engagement, etc. All right, so you have faith, and in the definition of faith, it says trust. So in trust, you find a reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety of a person or thing. The reliance on the integrity, strength, ability of a person or thing. A lot of people use those two words interchangeably, faith and trust. We've been learning that they're not always the same. I have faith that that chair is well made and can support me if I sit in it. Doesn't really become trust until I act on my faith and go sit in that chair. Trust, I think, is just a additional way to support and strengthen the faith and to show the faith. Now, this may seem a little bit strange. I'm looking around. I've known some of you all for 8-9 years. I've known some of you for 8 or 9 hours. So some of you might have a little bit of trust in me. And some of you it would be a stretch. But this is going to be a participatory event. I'd like somebody, whoever it is in this room, if they feel so inclined and have trust enough in me to do what I say. I want someone to bring me a $5, a $10, or a $20 bill. Any one of those. I promise you will get it back. And more. I only need one. All right. There's a $5 bill. Thank you, Lewis. Now, Lewis is one of the ones I've known for 8.5 years. So he probably has a little bit more trust that he's going to get his $5 back. Now he's going to have to sit on the edge of his chair and wait and see. But I noticed I said a 5, a 10, or a 20, and he came with a 5. Okay. All right, so a command, a promise, and a helper. Throughout the Bible, there are commands all over the place. Throughout your lives, there are commands. Some of them have promises. Some of them do not. When my 16-year-old son is driving to football practice, and I tell him, as soon as practice is over, you drive straight home. That's a command with no promise stated. There is an implied promise that if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. But, I mean, in the Bible, here's a command from John 2:5. This is the wedding. And Mary said, his mother saith unto the servants, whatever he saith unto you, do it. You don't know what that is. But she says, and she's implying, he's got command. Whatever he tells you, you need to do it. Doesn't matter. Do what he says. Here's a good one. From John 15:9-14. As the Father hath loved me, so I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things that I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So, somebody give me an example of how you can love your neighbor or your enemy. Anybody. Help them, okay? Right now it's raining outside, I believe. Somebody could come inside and love somebody and say, oh, by the way, that green Explorer with the ladder on top, their windows are down, okay? That's an act of love. There are great acts of love and simple acts of love. But to me, even the simplest, smallest gesture is love. I don't qualify great love and little love. Yesterday, I'm getting ice to bring here to the conference. And I've got 3 coolers, and I'm trying to get like 5 different bulk loads of ice. And for whatever reason, the machine's not working right. And somebody pulls up in a truck. and starts standing there. And he's got his little $2 out. I know he wants to get a bag of ice. And I'm trying everything I can, and I finally hit bag. And I didn't want a bag, but I hit bag, and a bag came out. And I looked at the guy, and I said, "I'm sorry to make you wait. Are you wanting a bag of ice?" He said, "Yes." I grabbed the bag and gave it to him. I said, "Here, I'm going to be a while." He said, "You want the $2? I went, "No. I've taken more than $2 worth of your time. Go." And he got in the truck and left. That's two. I guess I lost $2 I lost $1.75 because that's all it cost. That to me is a small sacrifice on my part. But because I delayed them from getting to wherever they were supposed to be, even if God said delay them because they don't need to go right now, I kind of messed up their plans and they could have gotten mad. Nancy talks about different ways that you love people. That she'll be in a store and see this, I don't know if Liz was with him or not, a little pregnant lady that was 9 months pregnant, and they took up their money maybe and gave it to the lady because she was like past her due date. It was last night or the night before she said that. Those are kinds of love, okay? But this, to me, really exemplifies what Jesus means by love. And this is from Matthew 25. Starting at 35. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or need clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit?" And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me." God loves every one of us. When we do something good or loving to one or 30 or 3,000, it's no different. He celebrates and notices the act of kindness or love to the one. Conversely, he sees it when you do the act of ugliness to one. But that's what he means by love one another. All right. The theme, to go back to it, was, "If you keep my commandments, I will send you a helper." All right? So his command is, love me and keep my commandments. His promise is, I will send you the helper. A little bit on command. I mentioned Noah. I hadn't talked about Jack yet. Who remembers the movie A Few Good Men? Okay. Who was the lead Marine general that was put on trial? Jack Nicholson. That's the Jack that I'm referring to. Because he earned his way to a position of authority, of command. And he thought it was only his way. Anybody in the Marines at Guantanamo Bay, which was a training base, and therefore any Marine that was going to be a Marine, had to do it his way. He even said, "I speak and give an order, and they obey. They don't question." Because if they do question, they die. So he, in that movie, has put himself in a position where he thinks he's at the same level of God. That is the wrong kind of command and authority that we should hope to attain. But he gave, and if you hadn't seen the movie, the whole gist is some Marine wasn't keeping up with everybody else, so they gave him a blanket party and they beat the tar out of him and he died. So the two kids that really beat him up are now on trial for killing another Marine. And they said, no, we didn't do it. You know, it's kind of like a cover-up. We didn't do it. He was having an asthma attack or whatever. But the command was leave these boys. He said his command was leave the boy alone. Well, if you follow his commands and you say leave him alone, he should have been left alone, right? If you have the ultimate authority and you say don't touch me, should anybody touch me? But that didn't happen. So ultimately he was lying. He did give the command to beat the tar out of this boy and get him up to where either get him out or get him up. But he got him out. But those commands are to me empty commands. They're commands without the promises. God gives us some of those. Mary did when she was talking at the wedding. In Acts 1:4, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard me. That one's a command and a promise. Don't go anywhere, because if you leave, you're not going to get the blessing I'm giving you. I sure hope my windows are up. The call of Abraham, we all know that story. He was told to go to a country and he would be made a great nation. Abraham obeyed. Thank you, Lewis. And he was made a great nation. That was an example of a command and a promise. Oh, let it rain. All right. I'm going to skip that one. So in Matthew, one of the disciples said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. I used to, when something happened and then something else happened right behind it and they're related, I would say, oh, you want to hear something funny? And relate the two together. I read this on Saturday, last Saturday. And the love your neighbors as yourself. On Sunday, I heard a preacher on TV say, if the commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself, then a lot of us need to learn how to love ourselves a little bit better. How can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? You're not giving them the love that God wants you to give. You have to find that peace and that love and that good part about you so that you can give it out. And God will help you find that. But that's just awesome that I read this on Saturday and on Sunday I hear another preacher talking about it. So the commandment was Obey me and love one another. And I promise I will send you a helper. The definition of a promise, a declaration that one will do or will refrain from doing something specified, a legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is given the right or claim of the performance, a reason to expect something, grounds for expectation of success, improvement, or excellence. Would God give you a command followed with a promise if he wasn't going to follow through on his promise? But man does all the time. More so than follow through with their promises. So I challenge all of us. If you're not going to keep a promise, whether you say, I promise I will. I think Nancy said, if you say you're going to pray for me, then pray. If you don't, then don't tell me you did. So if I go to Nancy and say, Nancy, I promise I will pray, that to me is the same thing as going to Nancy and saying, Nancy, I will pray. You don't have to say, I promise. If you say, I will, then you will. And if you won't, you better not say, I will. All of us need to be truthful and true to our words. If we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. Nancy mentioned earlier the phone call that Lisa made to me Monday about bringing some ice chests. And I said, well, do you need a refrigerator? Yeah. Well, the refrigerator I had, I plugged it in, went to clean it. 2 hours later, it wasn't getting cool. So I said, well, that one's scratched. Lisa said, well, what about the one inside the shop? So I go inside the shop, and she said, oh, well, it doesn't work either. So I called somebody to come look at them Wednesday, but they never got there before I left. And basically, when I told Lisa McDonald, I'll bring a refrigerator, to me, I felt like that was my word and I had to follow through. So I loaded up the trailer on my truck and drove it empty all the way up here and stopped at Lowe's and easily and bought a refrigerator. And I put it in the kitchen and plugged it in. And when we got done Wednesday night, I went and tested it. And it didn't work. So Thursday morning, I loaded it up, and I took it back to Lowe's. I didn't tell Lisa I'd bring her a working one. I just told her to bring her a refrigerator. So, but Debbie did tell me, take it back and don't bring me another one. I said, okay. I would step out on a limb and say that 100% of the people in this world at one time or another has broken an oath, a promise, or a declaration, meaning to or not meaning to, because none of us are perfect, and I think that's where a lot of the slip-up is. I've heard my wife say this, and I think I've said it a time or two, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I know I've said to my son, mean what you say and say what you mean, because words have power. if you promise, that's a lot of power. Follow through with your promises, because he will. So another verse on promises from Romans 8:15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. That's the Holy Spirit. That's part of the promise. That's the helper. God said, obey me, love your neighbor, abide in me. I added that. And I will, that's the promise, send you a helper. A lot of people think that Jesus was the ultimate helper. He gave his life for me, for you. That's an awful big sacrifice. But I think on that same plane that the Holy Spirit is an equal helper. And the reason I say that is when we accept Christ as our Savior and the Holy Spirit comes and abides in us and we falter, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. The Holy Spirit is still there with us. But we take him to some less than desirable places. And we say some less than desirable things. And the Holy Spirit is there with us. But he is there that when we recognize that I am of the earth, but I want to be of the kingdom, he is to help us. He points it out. He lifts us back to the heavenly place. So the definition of a helper, this Noah needs to get back to work, because the definition of a helper says one that helps. That doesn't really mean a whole lot. But he did say assistance or support. But the definition of help is to make more pleasant or bearable. I'm not going to read the rest of them, because to me, that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit is God's helper that lives in us to make this earth that we live on more bearable, more pleasant, because we can put away the things of man and put on the things of God. And most of our lives, most of my life that I thought I had it all together, I thought it was good. I was in the world. I was of the world. I had the wife, the two kids, the 2.5 dogs, the 2 cars, you know, whatever that average is. You got the nice house. It's comfortable. It's not what God wanted. God didn't promise comfort. So shortly after Nancy came to my house, I told Lisa on a Sunday morning, I'll go with you to this other church. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to start tithing. Okay? I didn't say I promise, but I said I will. So that night, we went to church, and I tithed. That's on a Sunday night. On Thursday afternoon, I lost my job. Sunday comes around. Actually, later Thursday, I feel defeated. I feel, what's that word back there? Invaluable. I feel unvaluable. I've got the wife, the two kids, the 2.5 dogs, and no job. What kind of husband, father, am I going to be now? And I said something basically to the effect that night, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." You know what she said? "It's all right. When God closes one door, he'll open a bigger door for you." I'm bawling my eyes out because I don't know how I'm going to be able to buy milk next week. And she's trusting God, who I had just 5 days earlier said, "I'm with you, babe." So we go to church on Sunday. Yes, I went back. And somebody said, "Well, how was your week?" "Oh, started off good." He said, "Well, you know, when you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior," I didn't say it's going to be easy, "but the enemy's going to be gunning for you." And on the way to church that night, before that was told us, Lisa said something about tithing. I went, "Here's my paycheck, here's my tithe, we're giving it anyway. What about groceries? We're giving it anyway." And we did. And we continue to this day. Last year, I went with a group of people, volunteered for a week to go repair houses for people that couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford to take the time off from work because now I work for myself. But I said, "Okay, I'll go." And I went because the Lord said, "You should go." And I did. From last July to this May, my business has picked up. People are asking me, "Are you going back again this year?" I said, "I don't know. I'm kind of busy. I got all this stuff going on. I can't afford to be away from work." So I'm in this house, no radio, no helpers, nothing. And I'm laying, floating laminate floor, 1,600 square feet of it. And about the third day, I heard God say, "Go." And I said, "All right, but what? Go." I went ahead and closed work early. It's kind of easy when you work for yourself and nobody's there with you to close up. You just put your hammer and your saw in the truck and drive away. So I did. You know what I did? I went home, got on the computer, and enrolled to go back to that neighborhood this year. God told me in that one word, "Go." That was a command and a promise, because I had to relate it back to the year before. I sacrificed. I gave to one of the least of these, and he provided for me. if he did it once, he'll do it again. So when he said go, I left. I went. We worked. 3 weeks passed working on that house, and my phone's ringing even more. So praise God. When you are obedient to God's command, he will live up to his promise. If you're disobedient to God's command, then you're still of this world. He wants us all to have the Holy Spirit. He wants us all to love each other. It's our choice every single day. You could have chosen not to come back Thursday and Friday and Saturday. You'd have had to live with the consequences. But couldn't you have chosen not to come back Friday and Saturday? I could have told Nancy no last Saturday. I could have told Lisa no on Monday. I could have listened to my wife 8.5 years ago when she said, stay upstairs. Well, you know what? I'm sorry I disobeyed you, but I was listening to a higher power. How much better is our life with the Holy Spirit than without the Holy Spirit? Ashley, I just came from your workshop. How much better is your life with the Holy Spirit than before? Way better. Mine too. While I thought I had it made, that was man's way. I was trying to please man. I was trying to live up to the Joneses. I don't know everything. I don't know if my phone's going to continue to ring and I'm going to get the work. But I promise you this. I'm going to do my job every single day to the best of my ability. And so it pleases God. Because you know, if God likes my finished product and the homeowner doesn't, I'm okay with that. If my brother who I work with and I disagree, but I know I did it God's way, then I'm not backing down. If Point to Hope has a conference in Seneca the third week in August, I'm leaving work. If it's the third week in September in Alaska and I get invited to go, I'm leaving work. If it's October and it's to West Virginia, I'm leaving work. And I'm all relating it back to that one word God said to me in May. I know what it was about, but I think it goes over everything. Go. He wants me to go. Where? I don't know. But I'm going to go. So, a helper also can be called an ambassador or an advocate. One appointed, this is the ambassador definition found in a Bible. That's what it said on Noah. One appointed by God to declare his will. You know, every country has ambassadors or emissaries or whatever they want to call them, but we have ambassadors, American ambassadors that are in like 70 states, 70 countries. They're there to speak the word, the opinion of the state they represent. We're all ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're declaring his will. It's not ours. It's not mine. It's not yours. So we've talked about a command. We've talked a little bit about a promise. We've talked about our helper. Is God going to push it down your throat? No. Nancy may, but God's not. No, I'm kidding. It's our choice. You choose your path. If you choose the wrong path, it's going to be rocky and bumpy. And you may not like the scenery when you get there. I'm sure most of us have heard the saying, I would rather live this world like there is a God and die and find there that there is not than I would to live like there is no God and die and find out that there is. I'm not too worried about when I die anymore. I tell you a little story about a buddy of mine, and I hadn't seen him in 6 months. I'm in the checkout line at the grocery store. He's walking in to go get some bread or milk or whatever, and he says something. I said, well, how you been doing? He said, oh, I'm doing okay, but it's better than the alternative. And I said, no, it's not. The cashier turned and looked at me. And he looked at me, what do you mean, no, it's not? I said, where are you going when you die? And he thought for a minute, and he realized, I don't need to say that. No, you don't. But if we don't think about where we're going when we're dying, there's a heaven, there's a hell. I think if you abide in his command, and live in God and let God live in you, and you accept his promise that the Holy Spirit will reside in us and help us, that the after death part is taken care of, the junk we see in this world today, we may or may not be able to do anything about it. But God's promise is for us to have heaven here. He doesn't want the Holy Spirit living in crap. Excuse my language. The Holy Spirit is to help us have heaven here while we live. So all the junk that goes on, you don't have to partake in. So it's our choice. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It's your choice. It's my choice. I choose God. I hope you choose wisely. Lewis.